Joy to be back in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, I'm still reflecting, refreshed from this morning. The Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, amen. Undeniable power of the Holy Ghost, amen. And it was beautiful to watch, amen. And I'm normally, when I'm preaching, amen, I'm doing more feeling than watching. But I had the privilege several times in the service just to focus. And I watched the Spirit of the Lord begin to fall on people, and God begin to minister, and how beautiful it was. Amen. Guests this morning, amen, power of the Holy Ghost on them as well. Amen. We're so blessed tonight that the same God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Joshua, amen, David, Samuel, Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, Matthew, Simon, James, the son of Zelotes. Amen. Are you thankful that that same God is alive and well? Amen. Praise God. And we're thankful for the beauty of the Lord. Amen. Sister Sydney, good to see you back in Nacogdoches. Amen. Let's give her a hand. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And starting a new school year at SFA, and we have several students that has been attending, and we're so thankful for it. I want you to be in prayer. Amen. A young man will be here with us Tuesday night. Amen. We're looking at using him for our interpreter in the Spanish ministries. And his name is Diego. He is a Texas Bible College student from the country of Chile. And we're looking forward to what God's going to be doing. Also, Senior Saint Crusade, we want you to come and have a great time. It is for the whole church. How many is going to help me reach to people and try to get other people here? Amen. I'm telling you, I've invited different ones. Amen. This week is my goal to get to the courthouse, invite my judicial friends, my courthouse people. We're going to believe the Lord there. Amen. Also, different ones in the community, we want them to come. But we want you to help me. Amen. Outreach is not for the pastor. It belongs to you. Amen. I'm the shepherd. Amen. Sheep give birth to sheep. Amen. And a lot of times, amen, I had pastor tell me, you have spoiled these people. Amen. There's some people that don't do nothing. He said, amen, preachers, evangelists, said, you reach. He said, they need to start doing something. Amen. And I appreciate that. Let's reach out. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's be something for God. Amen. I believe I'll go to hell if I don't reach those around me in my life. Amen. I really do. If a missionary was in a foreign country and they had the treasure and the key to eternal life and they never shared it, amen, they will step before God because they did not reach and share that key. Amen. And Brother Williams, thank you for being one that loves tracks, that reaches out. Amen. Praise God. And others in this place, amen, not everybody, amen, does it, but there are a great majority of our church that reaches out, and I thank you for that. Amen. Romans, the 6th chapter tonight. And I have felt the joy and the power of the Holy Ghost so strongly. I'm telling you, the glory of the Lord has spoke tonight, ministered tonight, and God still has some more things to talk about. Amen. Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 12 and verse 13 is where I want to go. Then right after that, Romans 5, 21. But Romans 6, 12, the word of the Lord says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. You see, when sin reigns and sin is your king, you'll start obeying it. You obey it in the lust thereof. 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. When you yield yourself as instruments, verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion. Everybody say dominion. Over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. I am under grace. Amen. I'm thankful tonight. Amen. Then it says, verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we're under the law, but under grace? How is that question answered? It says, God forbid. Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin? unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Are you thankful today that, amen, I know who my king is? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not letting sin be the king in my life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Romans 5:21 says, amen, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. Somebody say it, our Lord. Amen. Are you thankful that Jesus Christ is our Lord? Amen. Praise God. Tonight I want to preach to you from this title, The True Triumph. The true triumph, the true victory. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. The definition of triumph means a great victory or conquest or success after a battle or after a struggle. Anybody has ever had a battle and a struggle before? Amen. Triumph is more than survival. It's overcoming. Not walking away all torn up, but alive and victorious. Amen. God wants a church that is victorious. Amen. A victorious church. Amen. In the Bible, triumph often points to a public display of victory. Anytime a king won, he came back, amen, with victory parade, with a triumph parade. And where the enemy, the defeated enemy sometimes was openly shown and conquered, they bring the carcass of that enemy back and said, look what the Lord has done. David had a trophy from the victory there that day of Goliath. He came back with the head of Goliath. Amen. Don't you want tonight the head of your enemy in your hands? Don't you want victory today to be, amen, all over your life that you could say, look what the Lord has done. Look what my God has come through. I want to be a triumph person tonight. Hallelujah. And there's a spiritual dimension of triumph. Triumph is not just winning once. It's living in this victory of Christ every day. Amen. Triumph means that sin is dethroned. Grace is enthroned. And the cross is lifted as a banner of victory. We don't triumph in self, but we yield wholly to Christ's reign. Amen. The Bible says, let not sin reign. Somebody said, don't let sin win. When sin reigns, sin wins. When sin has the reign in your life, it also has the reins of control in your life. Amen. But friend, every time sin gets a hold of the reins of control in your life, it wants to celebrate victory over you. But there's a scripture that says, rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. Are you thankful that God would put bounce back into you? God puts that bounce back in your life. Amen. When you fall, amen, when you stumble, there's going to be some times that you're going to be human. There's going to be some times you're going to get upset. There's some things that were some words going to come out of your mouth that you didn't intend to say. How many's ever had that? That doesn't justify sinning. But you're going to catch yourself being a human at some time and have to repent. That's just God just letting you just put your head through the fence and graze on the septic tank sometimes. And you catch yourself. That don't mean I jump the fence and move over there. It means I turn to God and say, God, I don't want to be an idiot. I want to walk with you. I want to be victorious. I'm not going to let sin win. That's right. Hallelujah. I want to just talk to you tonight. It was in 2015. A young man that was running a race, and he ran for the college, a University of Oregon, and he was headed to the finish line. He turned to the crowd with a triumphant gesture, trying to get the crowd to cheer him on. And while he was just a few steps away, maybe two steps from victory, the runner from Washington State, University of Washington, whatever, amen, just a little bit behind him, amen, while this guy was turning to try to get everybody, because he had a big lead. He had a big lead. But when he slowed down just enough to get everybody to cheer for him, Washington, University of Washington runner beat him. And he celebrated just a little bit too early. I come to tell you tonight, the enemy, amen, wants to rejoice, but his rejoicing is just a little bit too early. I'm thankful for victory in Jesus tonight. Amen. Oh, Fred, I rejoice. Devil, amen, you're not going to win tonight. Amen. My triumph is in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, friend, I want somebody tonight to tell the devil, go and tell hell the party's over. You don't have to celebrate because I'm not coming there. Amen. The angels of heaven rejoice over one that comes to repentance. Hallelujah. Well, hell wants to have a party tonight and say, oh, I just can't wait. I can't wait for Colton Murray to get there. The devil's excited. He wants to triumph. Oh, I'm going to get Colton Murray because I've been putting condemnation in his mind. I've been messing with his thinking, messing with his heart. And he's been entertaining that just a little bit. And oh, he's given in to it. Amen. And the enemy begins to plug him and say, ha ha, go hell, let's have a celebration party. But tonight, Brother Colton, you can say, hell, you might as well quit the party. The party's over because rejoice not against me. When I fall, I shall arise. Somebody ought to shout to God tonight for his victory. Oh, come on. Amen. You need to shout to God with some victory in your heart, with some triumph in your soul. Romans, the 5th chapter, says this. More of the law entered that offense may abound. And where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Let me tell you what that means. Sin doesn't have a chance in the competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call grace. Are you thankful that when people look at you and say, it's kind of like when we were kids and my brother or my brothers, we did something. We used to point our finger and said, ooh. You ever had anybody in your life do that? And friend, the devil will use people to say, ooh, Rhett. Ooh, Thomas. Ooh, Gloriana. Ooh, John. Look, when, and the whole community would put it on Facebook. Going down North Street yesterday, there was at CVS, there was a cop pulled over, several cops there, and there was a lady that was getting a field sobriety test. And the reason why I knew it, because right there across the street at Little Caesars, there was a man with his phone hiding, recording everything. Because he wanted to have something on her or something on the police department, right? He had some good little gritty news that he wanted to share, some gossip. I want to just tell you tonight, the enemy wants to give some gossip. He loves gossip. Amen. But he hates the gospel because gossip and the gospel don't match. Amen. You see, amen, just because you falter, just because you sin, and the devil wants to plague you with the ooh, look what you did. Oh, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to have the Holy Ghost. I'm not licensing sin. Amen. I'm not licensing intentional stuff where people do things, but I'm telling somebody tonight how wicked condemnation is, how the enemy likes to triumph over you, but I still want to say rejoice, not against me. Oh, devil, amen, I have a God who's greater than you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road at tonight. Some people advocate sin. They start justifying sin instead of condemning sin and telling sin to get out of my space. They start justifying why they spend so much time on Facebook, on the internet, and YouTube, and why they live in a life that is on the line, why they can't be faithful to God. But I want to tell you, you can't justify sin. Yeah, I mean, you could try to paint it up. You could use Bondo on it. You could use all this stuff and try to paint it up, but sin is still sin. Mm-hmm. Let me just tell you tonight, don't advocate sin. When the gavel of eternity falls, sin won't be your lawyer. Sin will be your accuser. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
Don't stand for sin. It's not going to stand for you in judgment, but will stand against you. Sin will never be your friend. And the devil will never be your friend. The devil wants you to feel like he's your friend. Oh, it's okay. It's okay to do that. It's okay to dress unholy, ungodly. It's okay. You know, everybody else is doing it. But if God says no, no means no. Even when the world and the devil and your friends say, oh, it's not going to hurt you. It's okay, young lady, to show your knees. It's okay. It's okay. You know, I want to tell somebody, it's not okay. Amen. It's not okay to be immodest. It's not okay to play with the lines. It's not okay when the word of God and the pastor says, thou shalt not eat donuts. Why go for donut holes? It's the same material. Come on. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm not playing around. I'm talking to somebody's soul tonight. Amen. Sin wants to be justified. Sin wants to be excused. Amen. Hear me tonight. Sin uses all sorts of justifications. It even uses feelings. Don't hurt her feelings, Pastor. Don't hurt my son's feelings. Don't preach to him that hard. Don't talk to him that way, Pastor. Hey, friend, if the bridge is out, amen, and you warned and put a sign there and a blockade, and they keep on going through the blockades, and you know you got one more chance to say, hey, the bridge is, hey, friend, I don't hurt. It don't hurt me to hurt a feeling tonight when I know that the bridge is out. Hear me. Amen. Sin doesn't have a chance. So sin uses all kind of feelings and reasons, excuses. But remember, all these different things that sin uses can't stand before God, because nothing in secret is secret to God. He says even the things in the dark he sees. Friend, hear me tonight. Amen. Sin has no defense. It only condemns. So don't advocate sin. Hear me? Sin will never advocate you. It will never be your friend. Instead, when we fall, thank God that we do have an advocate with the Father, the Bible says. In 1 John 2:1, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. When you stumble, hear me tonight, I'm giving you a formula to help you. When you catch yourself that you've done something wrong, don't try to excuse or justify yourself and stay down. Somebody say amen. When you say something that's inappropriate, out of order, and the Lord begins to deal with you and pull your chain, don't you dare think, oh, well, I could cover it up. No, no, no. And don't you justify, say it was an accident when you know it was intentional.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. I want to tell you tonight, amen, how do you know the power of God is in your life? When God has the reins of your heart, the reins and the control of your life, he'll break sin's grips of that control. Amen. How many tonight wants to live a triumphing life where the grip of sin doesn't grip you on any longer? That tight grip where hell has against you, that when you try to do good, you pull back with evil. I want the power of my God to break the grip of sin, that sin does not have dominion over me. I want Jesus to win. I don't want sin to win tonight. I want the glory of a triumph and power. Yeah. Hallelujah. If you defend sin, you're going to stay defeated. So you got to dethrone sin's rule in your life. Put sin in its place in the blood of Jesus under your feet and let God have the reign. You know, sin wants to stay alive. That's the reason repentance. There's some people think that repentance is just saying, mentally, I'm sorry. Repentance is more than a mental. It's a moral thing. It's a meaning thing. It means you're sorry enough. There's a lot of people sorry they got caught, and they're sorry for the sin. I'm sorry for the blemish. I'm sorry for the mud all over me. But friend, you got to be sorry for you. God, I'm a sorry individual. I need you. God is looking for somebody to surrender. Amen. Yield to God. You know, Proverbs 16:16, there's something I want to just talk to us about tonight. Proverbs 16:18, I'm sorry. Somebody have your Bible? Amen. I want you to turn to Proverbs 16:18. I could read it, but I want to hear it. And I want you to hear it. I want you to see it. Don't put it on the board yet, Sister Sharon. Amen. Till I have a reader. Amen. Do I have a reader tonight? I need a reader. Amen. Pastor, why you do this? Because I wanted to sink in. I wanted to get inside of your spirit tonight. I wanted to get in the sight of our children. Go ahead, Brother Murray. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction and what?
Haughty spirit before a fall.
Okay. Now you got it in your Bible. I want you to look at the screen where it says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a
fall.
Mm-hmm. Here, pride is the prelude to a crushing, destructive crash. You ever heard your pastor say, pride will take you for a ride? Mm-hmm. And a haughty spirit before a fall. So pride is that prelude to a crushing, destructive crash. And a haughty ego is the usher that escorts you right to your downfall. Or in other words, you want to hear it? Pride paves the way to a destructive end. And arrogance drives the courage right over the falls to your destruction. Folks, amen, I don't want to be so proud and haughty that I can't humble myself in the presence of God. God wants somebody that learns to yield to him. Amen. The scripture that we read today, amen, it's talking about your yielding to God. Yielding to God. Don't yield your members to sin. Don't be an instrument of sin. Sin will reign and rule and ruin your life. But are you thankful for the grace of God tonight? Grace will do a marvelous work inside of a soul. Are you thankful for the amazing grace? How sweet the sound. Amen. It still saves a wretch. A wreck of a life. Amen. Sin's reign is cruel, deceptive. You know, the biggest thing we fight today is the deceptiveness of sin, to where a young person thinks it's just a tattoo, Pastor. You know, the book of Ezekiel teaches very much against a tattoo. Amen. Today, first thing backsliders do is go get them a tattoo. I want to just talk to you tonight. Amen. You can't help it once you got one, but you could help keep your body clean. Amen. While you're living for God, I wouldn't have one if I was in the world, because I plan to make it to heaven. Amen. I don't plan on backsliding, but I plan on making it. You know what also creeps me out? It's when apostolic Pentecostals backslide and they wear a big old cross around their neck. Why wear a cross around your neck? You're a backslider. That cross ain't going to give you anything. In a jail, they all wear crosses. Brother. And you know what? Voodoo witches use crosses. There's no power in that emblem. In fact, amen, even the Catholic priests, they do the sign of the cross. And most voodoo people, amen, they do the sign of the cross too. Friend, that sign of the cross won't do you no good whether it hangs around your neck or on your wall if you haven't laid down your life and crucified yourself. Amen. Hear me tonight. Amen. I want victory. Amen. But victory comes when you pick up that cross, your cross, and follow Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. I know I'm putting a lot of things in tonight, but amen, I want the devil amen, to lose tonight. Hallelujah. I want the devil to lose his grip in somebody's soul. Amen. The power of not letting sin reign. The power of not letting sin win. Amen. The Bible says don't yield your members. The language is don't let it happen. Either grace or sin will reign. And which yield do you rule? Do you allow to rule your life matters. I want to tell somebody the deception of allurement of sin. Sin wants to steal. Sin wants to kill. And sin wants to destroy. I'll never let that happen to me. You better watch it. Oh, Peter said, Lord, I'll never deny you. The Lord said, Peter, there's going to be something that tells off on you. And he denied the Lord, and there was a rooster that crowed. I want to tell you, friend, amen, one of the things the devil likes to use in deception is pleasures, feelings. Hebrews 11, 25, the Bible says the pleasures of sin are seasonal. They're just for a little bit. And the pleasures of sin, it feels good. Sin has a feel good. And drugs will make you feel good. Alcohol will make you feel good. There's some things that have feel good. But the feel good does not do you any good. Hallelujah. I need some young people to say amen. Amen. You need to trust tonight. You don't have to go in the world, amen, and get all beat up and banged up and messed up, amen, and dented up and trashed up, amen, to get a testimony. The greater testimony is when you never tasted of alcohol. You never smoked a joint. You never did those things. Amen. You kept yourself for Jesus Christ. I'm telling somebody, amen, the greater testimony is when you held on to the treasure. There are people that didn't have the privilege of having a church and a family growing up that would have loved to have what you have. How many of you didn't have this? That you would have loved to have somebody to preach to you and keep you and encourage you and help you and a family that would support you. Amen. Thank God for a church. You know, Satan wants to minimize the consequences and maximize the excuses. He wants to minimize consequences that it really don't have any effect, but he wants to maximize excuses. Oh, it's okay going to the movie theater. You know what's crazy? Amen. Recently, somebody went to the movie theater and some backslider saw them and said, I thought they had the Holy Ghost. Woo! I want to tell you, you could claim to have the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost don't have you. What do you have? Satan minimizes the consequences and maximizes the excuses and reason. Sin is easier to cover temporarily than to crucify the flesh. But that covering costs more in the end when we don't cover ourselves on the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you thankful that Jesus still sets us free? Amen. Truth sets you free, but rebellion enslaves. You know, tonight I want to talk to you about some people, some kings, some royalties that represented sin. One was King Saul. You know, the reason why King Saul had a good heart, but he let pride take him for a ride. King Saul got proud. The Bible says when he was anointed king, he was head and shoulders taller than everybody else, and he was a goodly man. But after a while, he got to thinking, I'm exempt from doing what's right. I'm cool. I'm good. I'm King Saul. I have authority. I don't have to pray. I don't have to follow God. I'm the king. I don't care if you're the king. I don't care if you're the president of the United States. Amen. We're still going to stand before God. Somebody say amen. Amen. So King Saul stood straight and tall, but friend, he became a mighty poor man because pride took him for a ride. And the Lord spoke to him to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites. So he went, and God gave him power to whip the Amalekites. Isn't it crazy? God will give you power if you obey. But he limited God by disobeying God, and he came back with the best of the livestock when God said, kill every animal, every breathing thing. Don't let not anything that belongs to the Amalekites and anything of the Amalekites live. And he came back with the best of the best of livestock, and he spared the king. His name was Agag. Anything with the word gag in it gags me. He come back with Agag. Agag gags God. I don't care how good your king looks, it still makes God sick. Sin makes God sick, Coley. If it makes God sick, it ought to make you sick. Somebody say amen tonight. Come on. Your pastor's trying to get us somewhere tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. And what looked like a small compromise was really, you want to know what it was? Rebellion. Rebellion comes in all kind of cloaks and all kind of forms. You could be a rebellious mama, not teaching your kids to behave themselves in the house of God. You could be rebellious, but not, amen, teaching your kid to respect the word of God and do the things of God. Yep. He partially obeyed, kept the best, he said, for sacrifice. You know what the Lord said? The best of sin doesn't impress me because it's disobedience. He refused. He meant to obey God. I'm going to just say a token of sin kept alive is a future tyrant waiting for its chance to rule. When you let sin live, even the best token of sin has a way of becoming a tyrant that will rule your life. Samuel, the king, what he said, what is this I hear? You know, King Saul come back with all these tokens of his war. And he said, what is this I hear? And he tried to explain, oh, I bought about the best of the best. You know what the priest did? He took the sword and hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord. He slaughtered that king. Well, that king, let me just tell you, you know, Saul thought he had that man. He cut off his thumbs and toes. Didn't he do that? And he brought him back and he said, he can't escape. He's under control. He's my prisoner. When sin is your pet. When sin is your pet and you think you got control of it, you're a loser. Amen. You're letting a lie of rebellion take you for a ride. Hear me, saint. Amen. Hallelujah. There's no excuse for letting sin live in your life. But Samuel took that sword and hewed him to pieces. Application, sin must be cut down completely, not tolerated, excused, or displayed as a trophy. There was another royalty. Her name was Jezebel. Jezebel reigned with manipulation. She was wicked. She seduced. She was violent. And she seemed unstoppable until the word of the Lord called her. It was in 2 Kings that the prophet of God, well, the man of God prophesied and he said, one day the dogs are going to eat you. And what's going to happen when dogs eat? Your dog eats a lot and you take your dog outside. If your dog lives outside, guess what that dog's going to do? Yeah. Your backyard is going to be a place where he goes, does his business. And the prophet said, Jezebel, the dog's going to do their business and you're going to be their business. How much planner do I have to get? You know what happened? Jezebel, she afflicted the people of God. She mocked the people of God. She fought the people of God. She did all kinds of things. And I mean, she was rebellious. But that reign of sin in it, when somebody stopped tolerating her rule. There's a man in the Bible named Jehu that said, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm tired of being mocked. I'm tired of sin reigning and ruling. You know, one king who spared named Agag, and God condemned him, and this one right here was a mess. The Bible says she painted her face. She made herself up. Jezebel was a queen that thought she was somebody. I want to tell you, sin is always making something up. She made herself up. I mean, where's that queen at? She stood in the window that day. That's old Queen Jezzy. Jezebel put a little makeup on her, bro. She made herself, she mocked the people of God. Can you make her mock everybody, Brother Zach? I'm telling you, amen. Look at there. She mocked, she laughed at the people of God. She's laughing tonight at you and said, look at you the way you live. Look at her. Oh, she stood in her window. That mocking thing was wicked. She thought she was powerful and beautiful. Amen. She thought she had. Have you ever been mocked? Has somebody ever mocked you? Amen. Anybody ever insulted you because you lived right and you lived for God? Amen. Oh, friend, I've been mocked by people by being a pastor. I've been ridiculed by people because I took a stand. Amen. I've had people stab me deep in the back. Amen. Hey, friend, but it's for God. There's going to be Jezebels in your life and Jezebel spirits. And I'm going to tell you, a man can have a Jezebel spirit too. Jezebel liked to run her mouth. I want to tell you, women has been known for gossip, but I know a lot of men that gossip. Jezebel spirit always running that mouth, insulting, kill the people of God. But there came a day that Jehu came. He came with anointing and an appointment, brother. And Jehu, when he came, old Jezebel was looking out her window all made up and running her mouth. But the man of God said, if you're on the Lord's side, and with her tonight was her group of people that were her servants, her eunuchs. They were tired of serving Jezebel. They were tired of Jezebel having to serve her, always having to take care of her. Amen. Brother Wesley, come over here, bro. Amen. Run up there and wipe her nose. She had a little runny nose. She needs Wesley, her servant. I'm telling you, are you tired of the snot of the enemy? Are you tired of all the trash of the enemy? Are you tired of being a servant to the enemy? Are you tired of being that one that is enslaved to the Jezebel spirit? Even the man of God said, hey, if you on God's side, throw her down. You know what happened that day? Amen. Her servants got tired of her and they threw her down and they trampled all over Jezebel that day, the wicked queen. I'm going to tell somebody, amen, the Bible says later on, they said, you know, she was of royalty. Her daddy was a king and she was married to a king. We better go do and give her a kingly burial. I want to show you how God fulfills prophecy. When they went to find her body parts, she was so trampled by all the horses and chariots. Talk about going to the dogs. She went to the dogs, didn't she? The Bible says they could not find anything but the skull and the palms of her hands, right? In other words, the dogs came and they ate everything up. And guess what? She was in the side of the country. When a dog eats rich food, it's got to go to the potty, don't it? You know what she was? Amen. She went to the dog and she went right through the dog. Amen. And she, amen, her life was just what the word of God says. I want to tell somebody tonight, how many wants to have throwdown church? Come on, don't you want revival in your church? Don't you want throw down church? When you come to the house of God, don't you want to see people healed? Don't you want to see people delivered? Don't you want to see people with the Holy Ghost? To have throw down church, you got to throw Jezebel down. You got to throw sin down. You got to put the things that reign against God in its place. Throw down sin. You got to throw some things down. You got to put your foot on the neck of the enemy and say, I'm tired of reigning. I'm tired of you having the control of my life. I'm tired of you, Jezebel, what you've done. Amen. Somebody needs to trample over your enemy. The Bible says, rejoice not against me, oh my enemy, for when I fall, I'm going to get up. But when you fall, you're not getting up. Let not sin reign.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Got to throw it down.
Right.
You know, when sin is tolerated, sin is enthroned. Even a token of rebellion left alive will destroy your future. I want to say eternal welfare. Everybody wants eternal welfare. Woo, I can't wait. Eternal welfare where the Holy Ghost just keeps flowing. I want eternal welfare. But eternal welfare don't come without eternal warfare. You better know how to use your sword. You better know how to pray. You know, better know how to walk with God. And you better know how to say no, devil, and take authority and dominion and say, I don't belong to you and you don't belong to me. I belong to Jesus Christ. Throw down. Let me say this. One chain king that was a pet king was enough rebellion to disqualify King Saul to be from being the leader. I don't care how much Agag was smiling and saying, at least I'm alive. Agag was ruling and ruining and cost Saul his kingdom. I want to think with you, I want you to think with me. Jezebel leaning out of her window, painting her face, like she's untouchable. Tonight I want to tell somebody, amen, I'm tired of dragging my Agag behind me. I'm tired of pampering. Can you imagine Agag had to be pampered and excused? We need to bring Agag to our altar. We need to throw Jezebel out of her window. The pride and rebellion or the addiction that has been ruling your thoughts, your home, your habits. If you let sin live, it will reign. But if you throw it down, grace reigns in its stead. You know, I want you to catch this. Don't walk out of here like King Saul with a secret Agag chain at your side. Drag it to the altar. Put it there tonight. Don't let Jezebel keep her throne in your life. Her pride and rebellion, lust and bitterness, whatever it is. Hatred. Throw it down tonight. And when you throw it down, grace will rise up. How many wants grace to rise up? When you yield to Jesus, Jesus will reign. And this is not a halfway station, it's a full surrender tonight.
Amen.
Don't let sin reign another moment. Throw it down and let grace work.
Amen.
Tell you tonight, triumph is more than an escape. Triumph is more than making it through. Triumph is more than when sin lies dead at your feet, but when Jesus reigns in your heart. Triumph is when you say to Agag, I'm tired of bringing you to an altar. Tonight, I'm cutting you out of my life. And when every time you come to church, old Jezebel tries to get you, old pride tries to reign and smile and control you. Tonight, which one of you young ladies are going to help me out? Let me see which one. Come on, Abby. Abigail, other Abigail, go get old Jezebel. Y'all go up them stairs, and I need somebody to throw Jezebel down again. Get up there. Y'all go help her out. Both these Abigails are victorious tonight, and they're going to throw Jezebel down. Are you thankful you're on the winning side? Okay. Y'all ready? I want y'all to get her, both of you. And I want you to just know that Jezebel is a heavy thing. She's a lying, no good for nothing thing that's caused you a lot of problems in your life. Throw her down. It didn't take them long, huh? Amen. It don't take you long to let sin go and say, God, I want you. Amen. Come back down here now, ladies. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you thankful for the grace of God? Amen. You know what I need tonight? I need a husband and wife that are tired of battling the Jezebel in your life.
I don't mean that you have some wickedness, but she's just there speaking and flooding her eyelids and mocking you to pieces. You're tired of being mocked for living right. Do I have just a volunteer tonight? I need a husband and wife to just get up here. Amen. We don't have too many couples here tonight, but why not you? Amen. Brother Neil, Sister Lauren, come on. Give me a good example. Amen. Go get a hold of Jezebel. I don't know what she said, but she said something. You know, all the other couples are doing that, Brother Neil. All the other couples has Jezebel in their life. Get her by the hair of the head and bring her up there. And make sure you give your wife an opportunity to get a hold of her and give her a good throwing up over the wall. You ready? Are you on the Lord's side? Throw her down. Get rid of her. Amen. I'm telling you, the Jezebel in your life, amen, I want to be victorious in Jesus Christ. Don't you want throw down, church? Don't you want the power of the Holy Ghost? Hey, sin is not a win for the devil. Hell tonight wants to have a party and say, woo, leave Jezebel alive. Keep old King Agag. And hell wants to have a party and said, Sydney, you keep Agag and you keep Jezebel. We're going to party because she's being fooled. But when Sydney says, no, 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 Agag, Jezebel, you're coming down tonight. Amen. I want to tell somebody, when you begin to say no, you're telling Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. I come to you in the name of the Lord. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. If your wife is here tonight, look at her and say, we're not going to let Satan ruin us. Amen. Satan, your kingdom's coming. Hell, you're not going to rejoice over my family. You're not going to have dominion over me. Amen. Young man, you need to determine tonight in your heart, I'm not going to let sin win. Amen. I'm not going to let hell have a party. Amen. Go and tell hell it's over tonight. Amen. Greater is he that is in me. Tonight's a night where I worship my God. Amen. I want the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. Greater is he in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Remember, Satan minimizes the consequences, maximizes the excuses. And he'll give you all kinds of excuses. Stand with me tonight. To tell you, it don't matter. Nobody will see you. Just one little bit's not going to hurt you. Even on vacation, God's still God.
That's right.
My commitment to God still counts on vacation.
That's right.
Even in a motel room. Well, God still counts. My commitment, my covenant with God, it's not something I leave in the church. Hallelujah. Brother Dwayne, is this old time Pentecost? I guarantee your grandma would be saying, preach it. Well, your grandma would be, amen. I don't know who your grandma was, but I guarantee she said, come on, that's amen to that. You know the reason why? She had to learn to throw some things down. Hallelujah. She learned to put some Agags out of commission. Brother Danny Williams, that sounds like your daddy preaching, doesn't it? Woo! Wasn't that old time preaching when they preached against sin, Brother Williams? Brother Elon Williams, Central Heights. Amen. He came and preached for us. He was 80-something years old. This Brother Williams is daddy. The power of the Lord all over that man began to preach. Them old long arms and long legs. I mean, he's just a preaching and beating the pulpit. But he was glorying in his great God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Do you know what, Sister Mott, when I called your daddy the other day, And he started telling me, he said, Brother Crosswhite. And he got excited. He said, you know, when I was a young man, he said, I could remember going to church. And he said, we load up and we go to revival. And he said, they'd preach the word of the Lord. And he said, the power of God would move. And he said, I just got paid. And he said, I did. I think it was a roofing job or something. I can't remember exactly. He said, I just got paid. And the Holy Ghost said, give it all. And he said, I had to explain why I gave it all. God told me. He said, I thought, you know, what am I to do now? I got a truckload of kids to feed now. But you know what? God never failed that man, and he still testifies. I wasn't afraid to let God rule and reign. Woo! Hallelujah. Sister Kristen, you're a first generationer. But you don't have to have five generations behind you to have the treasure of treasures. Hallelujah. Brother Zach, when old Brother Wheat used to travel out of the way to go pick him up, he and Sister Wheat used to go get Brother Zach when he was just a young man. You know the reason why Brother Zach's in church? Because of a pastor that wouldn't give up on him. Sister Wheat still calls him Zach Attack. But I remember Brother Wheat preaching. His pastor, when he grew up under. I remember that man of God preaching. We went to Rosenberg one time. That building was full of people. The revival, the Holy Ghost was there. I seen him get up and the power of the Lord. And he took a stand against some things. Amen. I want to tell you, Brother Wheat was saying, yeah. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's got to be. Amen. That's the way it's going to be with God. Sister Sydney. Pastor Tuttle at Vider, when he preaches, he tells you the way it's going to be. The way the word of God says it. He don't beat around the bush, but he sure beat down the devil and begins to say, No. We're going to believe truth, and we're going to stand for truth, and we're going to do truth. Sister Sharon. Woo, our brother Ramsey. That long finger, my. He didn't bow to the doctrine. When he preached and taught the truth and he taught those girls, amen, I guarantee you, amen, he went to his grave, amen, still standing strong and firm, amen, and all three girls knew it, amen. I'm thankful today for the power of the old past, those that stood and taught us to say no to sin and throw Jezebels down and get rid of your Agag, amen. Hope, Fred, the way to have revival, amen, is to give God that, I'm talking about triumph, amen, power, amen, the true triumph comes when we begin to give God the glory. Glory. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Somebody ought to shout with victory tonight. You ought to celebrate your God.
Your kingdom's coming down. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. I heard a voice from Jesus say, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. I heard a voice from Jesus say, Satan, your kingdom's coming down.
Come on, sing it tonight, Satan.
Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Satan, your kingdom's coming down.